I've been teaching on healing. And I want you to understand, when I'm talking about healing, I'm talking about eternal healing or salvation. I'm talking about physical healing, okay? I really believe in that, okay? You know, I think the church gets freaky sometimes in its presentation of that, but that doesn't diminish or negate the reality of what Jesus showed us when he was here, okay? And so I believe in mental healing, okay? This is the first place that the evil one attacked our original parents, Adam and Eve, if you remember. He went right after their mind, all right? And he threw a lot of confusion at them and a lot of questions. And it was very effective because it got them to take their eyes off the one they had been focused on for however long, put it on the fruit that they were told not to eat, and they ate it. And ever since then, it's been a real struggle. I find mental struggles, maladies. I hate to call it mental illness because that has so many ramifications and everything. But a lot of people struggle with their mind, okay, and their brain. And I basically differentiate. I won't get into that right now. But I believe God can help us, this is his word, to be able to take every thought captive to an obedience to him. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. This is so important because the great worry I have in the church is not that we don't believe in healing, but we've diminished it to the point where I almost hear a, well, that's true, but I believe in mental, emotional healing. Okay? If there's one thing I really struggle with, are doctors especially, because this isn't their specialty, who give a prognosis to somebody that you've got this or that, this mental struggle, emotional struggle, and here's some medicine, okay? And I don't have any problem with medicine, okay? My blood pressure's so high, if I didn't have medicine, my eyeballs would pop out, okay? So I don't have any problem with medicine. But the bottom line is, I really don't want you on something that masks what's going on in your mind and your heart forever. Because I believe God can deal with that. And these physical things that I struggle with, the diabetes and the high blood pressure, I'm on a campaign and passionately working to deal with that in my life too. So understand. Now, the problem is I go to a doctor and talk about it. Oh, you'll never get off that. And I'm like, jump in a lake. I just don't listen to those dudes. But so moving on. You hear what I'm saying? I believe in marital healing. I believe in relational healing. Somebody go ahead and say amen. I believe in professional financial healing. Okay. I mean, honestly, you can have your act together, but if you professionally and financially aren't together, that's not a comfortable place to be. You know, and honestly, my goal in life has been to be where when people around me are in trouble, I want to be professionally and financially in a place that I can help them. I don't want to always be that person they've got to help. You know, and so all of these things are so very, very, very important. Very important. As I was thinking about the healing dynamic this week, what I started to realize is we're focused on the healing that is right now. And I started reading about the dynamic of the light of God, okay? And folks, what God started leading me in is healing is great, But if you don't go anywhere with it, so what? So what? Well, I've been healed physically. Great. What are you going to do with that? I've been healed mentally. Great. What are you going to do with that? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to tell? You know, how are you going to use that to glorify God in the lives of those people around you? So very, 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 somebody wake up. All right? This is so important. This is such a fabulous, fabulous focus. It really is. I start out my sermon today, and I don't mean to be negative at all, but too many people, especially church attenders, are walking blind. They really don't know who they are. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how they would get there if they knew where they were going. Are you with me here? Okay. And today, I believe God wants to open our eyes to what he has for us. Instead of looking here and, oh, I've had this, I've struggled with this. Now, this is who God wants me to be. This is what God wants me to do. This is what God wants me to accomplish. It's awesome. It's powerful. It's wonderful. Now, I know church is supposed to be boring and we're not supposed to really enjoy what we're hearing. Enjoy. Okay? Because God wants to take you somewhere. God wants to do something in and with your life. God wants to bring healing, but not healing for healing's sake. He wants to heal you so that you can be that person that he created you to be and accomplish what he created you to accomplish. There are too many people who call themselves Christians and go to church and they have no idea what their calling is. They have no idea why they're here. They have no idea what God has for them and what God has in store for them. They have no idea. Today, I want you to begin the process of allowing God to open your eyes so that you can see the awesome, the powerful, the wonderful, the wow that he wants you to be and how he wants you to impact others around you. Amen? Amen. So very, very, very important. The first thing, I think I need to say this. We need to understand we are born in darkness. Now, I know it's cute to watch little kids that, you know, they're selfish. Oh, isn't that cute? It's not cute when they're teenagers. Okay? If you got little kids now and you think it's cute, understand that will not be cute when they're 16. You'll be punching yourself in the face for allowing that to go on. All right? But you need to just understand something. We don't have to live in the numbness and the hopelessness of that darkness. There are too many people who call themselves Christians and they live in this mode of, well, no. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ rose from the grave for you. Jesus Christ sent his Holy Spirit for you. The problem is there are too many blind people walking around the church who have not allowed God to open our eyes to all the greatness, all the power, all the possibilities he has for us. Amen? Amen? Somebody wake up. This is better than the Super Bowl. Okay? Even if the Eagles are in it, they'll lose again. Don't worry about it. But the bottom line is you got to understand this. You got to understand this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, okay, says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. God is light. Phos, it's P-H-O-S. It's where we get the word phosphorus and stuff like that from. The bottom line is, he is light. Hear this part, and I want you to hear this part and be challenged. Be challenged. And in him, there is no darkness. I watch the church, and the church drives me nuts. If you're not around, if you're around me long, you realize church drives me crazy. Okay? All the garbage you hear about happening in the church isn't Christ. It's this religious organization stuff where you have people fussing and fighting, and they don't like the preacher, and they don't like this, and they don't like the music, and they don't like, that's not Christ. Ain't got nothing to do with Christ. Poor Christ gets blamed for a lot of things he ain't got nothing to do with. You know, that's not Christ. Jesus is light. Jesus is hope. Jesus is hallelujah. If you're involved in that other stuff, you're walking in darkness. And you know who the king of darkness is? Well, I can't believe you're saying I'm walking in the devil. That's exactly what I'm saying. Jesus wants to open your eyes to who he is and what he has for you and what he wants to do through you. Today, my question is that what you want? Is that what you want? You know, absolutely. All right, okay. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I hear these. I grew up with this trash, man. You know, this family didn't like this family, and this group didn't like this group, and this group. It was demonic. They called it a church, but it was demonic. You know, understand, if you're walking in Christ, you're walking in the light, you have fellowship with each other. Whether or not you like somebody's personality, who cares? You have fellowship with him because you're both in the light. Amen? You know, that's how we should be with each other. You know, when somebody walks in here, they should never see people that are mad and stuff like that. No, they should absolutely see the light, you know? See the light walking, you know? So very, very important. Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I'm into that. You know? In John chapter 1, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That is such a cool thing. You know? I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I get caught up in the darkness. I know I'm not supposed to. I'm the preacher. You're not supposed to say that kind of stuff. The reality is we all get goofy sometimes. Here's the coolest thing about it, though. You could just decide, hey, I don't like the darkness. I'm coming back in the light. You know? I mean, it's that simple. Don't let Satan tell you, oh, well, God doesn't love you no more. God loves you, always has, always will, no matter what. Amen. Okay? If I don't get anything across before I croak, that's the one thing I want in my funeral. That's what he told us. God loves us, always has, always will, no matter what. It's that simple, okay? In him was life, and life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. Kick that sucker out of here, baby. You know? He shines in the darkness. And the darkness, now there's a lot of different derivations of this. And the darkness has not overcome it. In fact, the darkness can't even comprehend the light. The darkness can't conquer the light. So if you're walking in the light, the darkness can't conquer you. Please remember that. Everybody, oh, well, I got attacked this week. We'll all get attacked this week. You know, if you're in Christ, you're gonna be attacked. The only time you never are attacked is when you're walking in the same direction as the devil himself. You know, that's just part of it. But the darkness cannot conquer you. The darkness cannot overcome you. The darkness can't even understand you because you're in the light. He can't understand why you are who you are, because the bottom line is he thinks you ought to be like him. Amen? It can't get at you, right? In John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In Luke chapter 11, it says, your eye, now this is the important part, is the lamp of your body. And that word for body is soma. And that means, now listen to this, this is very important. Your eye is what lets the light into every area of your life or not. And your eye is your decision. I want to make sure everybody understands this. Because too often we're like, well, there's nothing I can do. Yeah, there is. The bottom line is your eye, what lets the light of God in, is up to you. And if there's ever any blockage, God can heal it. If there's ever anything in the way, God will take it out of the way. It's God's will for your whole life to be full of light and full of love and full of life and full of hope and full of power and full of everything you will ever need. Are you with me? Are you with me? Because there's a lot of folks who walk around the church calling themselves. Your eye. Ask God to heal that aspect where he comes in and establishes himself in our mind, in our heart, in our life, and shows us exactly who to be and what to do. This is so important. This is so important. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. Man, this is so important. I don't know where you are. I don't know the scars in your past. I don't know your life's circumstance. I don't know what's trying to block the light. I don't know the failures you've had. I want you to understand something. Every one of us have had mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual failures. One of the major things I see in people is, well, you know, I'm not perfect like them. And I'm kind of like, well, who exactly is them? There ain't no such thing. But here's what I want you to hear. No matter where you have been, no matter where you are, no matter what the battles might be, no matter where you struggle, no matter the scars, no matter the wounds, no matter what, God wants to heal your eyes, your spiritual eyes. And he absolutely wants to pump his life into every area of your life. I've been all week trying to figure which story to tell. And I want to tell you a story about a man named Jordan Mueller. Some of you might have heard of him. He ends up awesome. He ends up with thousands and thousands of thousands of orphans over in England. Over in England at that time, if you were an orphan, basically, unless you could get food off the streets and stuff, there was nothing. And George Mueller took in thousands and thousands of orphans and fed them and clothed them. And man, was he a man of prayer. One guy had this big estate, and he saw George Mueller peeking over the fence, and he just moved out because he knew George Mueller was praying to have his estate. So he knew, might as well just move because George Mueller's going to get my estate, all right? But guys, to really understand George Mueller, you have to understand the first half of the book. He was bad. I mean, everything he did was basically a rebellion against his father. Everything he did was a rebellion against his church. Everything he did was basically to cause problems. Everything he did was one thing after another, after another, after another. And his life was an absolute mess. But somehow, through different circumstances, God somehow began to open his eyes. I love this story. And little by little by little, the light of God, the life of God, the power of God, the hope of God began to shine in the different areas of his life. So that in the end, and it wasn't all straight, it was a struggle. He still did things. But in the end, when he was caring for thousands and thousands and thousands of orphans, they would sit down. Now, I want you to hear this. They would sit down and to eat. Now, could you imagine being responsible for clothing and feeding thousands of orphans? Sit down to dinner, and there's absolutely nothing in the cupboard to eat. And they would sit down, and this happened a multiplicity of times, and they would give thanks for what God had provided. Every time George Mueller and that staff and those kids did that, before the time to eat, someone would show up at the door and give them all the food they needed because God told them to. You see, he wasn't always this saint. He wasn't always this man of faith. He wasn't always. In fact, his life was a mess. I hear from people all the time, well, you don't understand. My life is a mess. Well, let me help you with something. Before Jesus Christ saves us, all of our lives are a mess. Okay? But when God came into George Mueller's life, He began to transform his mind and his heart and his soul. And he began to develop in him a faith, a trust, a hope, that even when there was no food to feed all these orphans, you know what he did? He called and whined to the government. That was a funny. What he did was, he gave God thanks. And every time he did, God provided. How about you today? Well, I could never be George Mueller. Why not? Well, I got stuff. We all got stuff. Well, I'm not sure I have that kind of faith. Well, faith is a gift. Why don't you pray for it? Well, that's a little scary. Faith is always scary. Amen? Faith is always scary. About 3 years ago, my wife and son, they were saying, well, we need to renovate the sanctuary. Where are you going, man? They were saying, you need to renovate the sanctuary. And I'm like, And I did that to him because he does it all the time. I was like, I don't know about this. I'm not sure about this. And I started praying, and they started talking to the different people and talking to the church. And 1 year we said we were going to do it. And, so I wasn't sure. And I just kept praying. And the thing you have to understand about me is every Saturday for sure, and sometimes more, I'll go around and I will anoint every crack and crevice and room and toilet and heater and air conditioner and everything in this building. I didn't know. I wasn't sure. And little by little, God started saying, this week, we put the money to do this building in the bank. You see, you don't have to be a great man or woman of faith that they write books about. You need to be a person who persistently prays and fasts. And even though at the beginning you're not sure what God's going to do or how he's going to do it, he'll get you there. He'll get you there. And little by little by little, as you pray and as you fast, God will begin to open your eyes, and the light and the power and the resources and the love and the grace will begin to pour in. Don't ever think, well, that's not for me. Let me help you with this. It's not for me either. It's only for those who lay themselves down before God and say, I don't know how we're going to get there. I'm just going to keep praying that in your time, we'll get there. And we will. Let's stand. I say it a lot. And this is important because one of the concerns I have about our church and the church is God calls us to go make disciples. God calls us to go and tell people about Jesus. And because of the societal dynamic of the church, we don't do it. We talk about it. But folks, you need some wins. You see, when you have some wins, you got something to tell people about. You know what I'm saying? And they look at you and say, I'm not sure. And you could say to them, well, let me tell you about this. Well, I'm not sure. Well, let me tell you about this. Well, I'm not sure. Let me tell you about this. Tell people about this. We started with no money. And all the money we need is in the bank. I didn't say it was coming. I didn't even say it was a loan. It's in the bank. All right? It ain't nothing. Wait till I tell you about the next thing we're doing. But I want you to hear this. You got something to tell people. Jesus changed my life. Jesus is doing this in my church. Jesus has a future for me. I don't have to stand around and worry. God knows where I'm at. And he also knows how he's going to get me where I need to be. When we leave this place, please go the way this song talks. There are people out there. They are hurting. They are hurting. They are hurting. They are hurting. They're angry. Well, I don't want to talk to that angry person. They're only angry because they're hurting. And usually somebody's lying to them. All right? Send me to tell them that this God of light has a powerful and wonderful future for each and every one of them. Send me. Give me the opportunity. Give me the words. And he will. Just to say, here's what I tell you. If you're scared, just tell them. My preacher told me I had to tell somebody, so I'm going to tell you. All right? That's fine. But tell them about this love. Tell them about this grace. Tell them about this God who took George Mueller from this man who was an absolute mess to a person who fed out of nothing thousands of kids because they're God's kids and they needed to be fed. Hallelujah. Send me.